Director McMillan, I'll start with you. The entity you lead, the Office of Gun Violence Prevention, is still relatively new. What is its mission?
Oh, so the Office of Gun Violence Prevention, as you mentioned, is relatively new. And the main purpose of the office is to research and to promote effective ways of reducing and preventing gun violence in Colorado using a public health approach.
I'm always so surprised to see how little research there is about gun violence. It's, you would think it would be something that would be easy to track and, you know, have readily available. But there have been attempts to study gun violence as a public health issue at the federal level, but legislators have been unable to allocate CDC funding for the research. Is studying this at the state level a way of being able to create a body of research? And how many other states are doing this?
Great question. And I think you really keyed in on one of the challenges of implementing widespread strategies and interventions into gun violence prevention immediately is that the lack of funding and the lack of research has existed up to this point because of the Dickey Amendment, which I think came into effect in 1993, which limited the amount of federal funds that could be allocated not only across the nation, but even at the state level. So to answer your question, I think more specifically with the resource bank, this is going to be, in my eyes, a game changer because it will be a repository of data, of best practices and the culmination of research, both locally and from the national perspective on what effective strategies exist around gun violence prevention. And it'll be housed in one space. I kind of call it the Google of all things gun violence prevention here in Colorado. Additionally, that the resource bank will be a clearinghouse for information and resources that exist outside of just data. Hopefully a place where people can share what's working for them in their local communities and be able to work and build some collaborations to scale some of those efforts up. And also a place where people can go to identify funding sources for continued research, for continued projects. So that's the hope, in that Colorado will be a leader nationally in building this model of sharing information easily, making it easily accessible, and being able to help amplify the work that's happening around gun violence prevention from this public health approach.
So Colorado had 13 mass shootings last year, with 80 people killed. Both of those are record setting, but that's not even, you know, the bulk of people who died because of gun violence. Most of them are suicide, and then there's homicide at 25% of gun deaths after that. And it just feels like gun violence is just getting worse every day. And it's overwhelming because we're talking about it all the time, and we're talking about mental health. And then we're fighting about gun rights. And meanwhile, just like more and more people are dying of gun violence, and there are more and more guns. I mean, what is an evidence-based solution to gun violence other than, you know, not having guns, which doesn't seem like it's really even an option because of such passionate, you know, ideologies on both sides?
You know, that's a great observation, Alexis. And as a person who comes from a community that's traditionally been impacted heavily by gun violence, this is something that I'm very passionate about and why I was driven to pursue this work. It's, again, not to sound repetitive, but from a public health approach and looking at the data and looking what are some of the effective strategies. And one of the strategies that has shown to be the most effective really falls into what some would call responsible gun ownership practices and safe and secure storage. One of the easiest and simplest ways that a gun owner can reduce the likelihood of gun violence happening is by securing their firearm safely with, say, a gun or a trigger lock or a gun safe, or also making sure that it's stored and unloaded. As oftentimes, say in the example of suicide prevention, if a person is having suicidal ideations, the research demonstrates that the longer that it takes for a person to have access to a means to complete that suicide, the less likely that they're going to go through with it and, if a firearm is in play, if that firearm is safely secured, it's much less likely that they're going to be able to use that weapon to complete the ideation. That being said, we could also, safe and secure storage is a effective way to make sure that firearms are not accessible to criminals or those who should not get a hold of them in case a firearm is lost or stolen, because it's safely secured, unloaded, and difficult to access if you're not the proper owner.
I interviewed a gun researcher one time a while ago, and he said something that stuck with me about how when you buy a gun, it's not just you that you're putting at risk. It's your children and their children and everyone in your house, whether you bought the gun or not. They all have increased risk of dying by suicide by 100%. I mean, I don't think that when people buy guns, they think about how this gun can have a life outside of their own ownership.
Yeah, matter of fact, I think I'll defer to Dr. France. I know that you have recently had a question about an inherited firearm. Isn't that correct?
Well, I'd say in general that that guns are common in the United States. 37% of the adults of Colorado estimated claim they have a gun in their home. That's about 1.7 million Coloradans. I'm a hunter. I have guns in my home, and I need to be sure that I keep them stored safely. As a gun owner, we all have to have the responsibility, the personal responsibility of understanding how to store our guns safely, and have plans should there be a need for the guns to be removed for the safety of the gun owner or other family members. And so guns are here. And so just like there are risks of living in Colorado because we live a mile high, we're getting more sun than in other parts of the world. We have a culture where owning guns is common and used for many reasons, for personal safety, for sports. And so our job is to educate gun owners and households to be sure they understand how they can minimize risks with that. So I think there's growing information about what kinds of policies might be effective at reducing and preventing gun violence, but it's still in the early days in some ways.
Well, I mean, yes and no. You mentioned that guns are often used for personal safety, and I think the research that we do have makes it very clear that people who own guns are not safer. In fact, they're more likely to get shot by something like 500% more likely to be shot with a firearm if you own a gun. And that doesn't even account for the increased likelihood of suicide, which is the most common source of gun violence. And we have numbers on that.
Yes, I think, you know, in the United States where we're allowed to own guns, the reason people buy guns is predominantly for personal safety. And we know that having a gun in your home, there's more likely that the gun might harm somebody in the family than to be used for protection. The actual risk of needing to use your gun to protect you is low, and the possibility of somebody being hurt or killed by the gun in your home is higher than the probability of you using it to defend yourself.
I've been speaking with Dr. Eric France, the Chief Medical Officer for Colorado's Department of Health and Environment, and Dr. Jonathan McMillan, the Director of CDPHE's new Gun Violence Prevention Office. They are working together with the Colorado School of Public Health to create a gun violence resource bank that tracks and studies gun violence across Colorado. Dr. France and Director McMillan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Alexis. Have a good day.
Thank you.
For KGNU, I'm Alexis Kenyon.